Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is October 23rd, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne. The call-in number is 347-945-5423. Please participate on the phone with our guests as well as in the chat, and once the show is over, make sure you go ahead and download it and rate the show. For those of you who have not signed up for the email alerts, please go ahead and do so at stardishradio.com. That is the best way for you to get all the news and upcoming guests for the following weeks to come. Getting right into things here. Brandon, you're on the line.
Hey, Joanne.
Hey. So, Brandon, our guest tonight, I'm just so excited. Thank you for writing this lovely intro.
Absolutely.
Her heartbreaking third-place finish during season two of American Idol might well have been the end of her story, but it seemed fate had other plans for her. A brilliant slice of pop froth called Eighth World Wonder fell into her lap and became a surprise mega smash, and suddenly her career was off to the races. Now with three hit albums under her belt, one of them a Christmas record which produced three consecutive number one singles, she grandly and gracefully splits the difference between Celine Dion and Patti LaBelle with a voice as powerful as the heavens and the grit and will to succeed when no one thought she could. Oh, and yeah, in her spare time, she's also a reality TV star and a restaurant owner in upstate New York, which we will definitely get into. So please give a warm welcome, warm Stardish welcome to the fierce and phenomenal Kimberly Luck.
Hi.
Hi.
That was a great intro.
Oh, well,
thank you,
Brandon. Yes, you're welcome. It's so well deserved.
Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate you taking some time out to come on the show tonight. We're very excited about it.
Thank you. I could tell. I heard the excitement in both of your voices.
Yes.
Kimberly.
Brandon.
I am your biggest fan, my darling. You are fantastic.
I believe you.
It's quite a thrill to talk to you tonight. Joanne said that you canceled, and I was heartbroken, and then she called me and said you were back on, and I was so excited.
Yeah, I had a schedule conflict, but I was able to move some things around, and I figured, you know what, I said it, I want to keep my word, so I'm here.
No, and
well,
we couldn't be none the happier.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get into this a little bit here. So, Kimberly, you were always a singer, whether it be in church or with friends. And even though there was a point where you decided that if you couldn't have it all as far as singing went, you were going to go for your other dream, which was to become a lawyer.
Right.
So now American Idol came up. How did that happen? Who encouraged you to go to this audition?
Well, from what I remember, there were three people who were, you know, probably the most instrumental in me auditioning for the show. And it was one of my friends named Pam, my sister-in-law at the time, Angie, and a good friend of mine from high school, Don, who later became my fiance. Right. they were watching the show. They know me, and they knew that I was singing. And I guess, you know, it was right around the time the first season had come out, and I got a phone call from Pam that said, and she was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, you know, I think at the time I was on my way to church, believe it or not. And she was like, "You got to come over here. I got something for you to see." And I was like, well, okay, I'll be there shortly. So I got there. Of course, I didn't make it to church because she made me sit down and watch American Idol. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, you know what, Pam? I was like, I don't know if I really want to do that. She was like, you could totally be on the show. You could be on the show. You could do this. And so then same thing happened with my sister-in-law, Angie. I was at her house one day, and she was like, have you seen this show? And I was like, no, I haven't seen it, blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of blew it off. And then I get a phone call from my friend Don, and he was like, You know that show American Idol, they're having auditions in Nashville, and I think you should go. If I have to come there and go with you, you should go. And so they, the three of them actually planted the seed, and, you know, I was very uncertain about it because, as you know, I was in college. I just graduated from undergrad, and I was headed to law school, so I kind of already made my choice as far as what I wanted to do with my career.
Right.
And it was still an unknown thing at that point. I mean, nobody really knew what it was.
Exactly. Nobody knew what it was. You know, as far as I was concerned, it was another cattle call. You know, and God knows I've been on enough of those.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, I struggled so much with the decision to go to law school that I was like, you better not dare change your mind. You know,
right.
That's kind of how I was talking to myself. Because, it, you know, the decision to go to law school is such a, it's not an easy decision. It's a lot of work. You know, I had spent a lot of time studying for the LSAT and doing, filling out applications and having panic attacks over the letters that I was getting in the mail. So it was just not something that I was about to let go of so easily.
Right.
Yeah. And,
well,
I did.
You know what, though? You know, do you ever think now, even though you have all of this in your lap and you're well on your way and so successful, would you ever consider going back and finishing your law degree?
Absolutely. It's definitely something that probably the past few years I've taken it completely off the table. But prior to that, like when I first got off of American Idol and I didn't know what was going to happen, I definitely thought about it, you know, because at that point, you know, now that I'm somewhat of a celebrity, you know, or I have the status is what I was thinking when I got the show. I was like, wow, I could probably get into any law school that I wanted to. coming off of a national television show where everybody knows
you could probably get you could probably get an honorary degree from anywhere you wanted to.
You know what? I thought about that.
Well, you know, Anita Baker was a lawyer before she became a singer.
I did not know that.
Yes, she was.
That's fascinating.
Are you
Anita
sure?
Baker was an attorney. Yes,
Are
I remember that
sure?
because I couldn't understand why. This, I mean, this is back in, I think, like the early 90s, and I couldn't understand why she would become a singer if she was a lawyer. I still didn't understand that at that time, you know.
Really?
If she was a lawyer, how could she become a singer? Yeah.
I'm going to have to research that. You have,
definitely.
You have intrigued me there. Interesting.
Yes.
Well, you know, Anita Baker is also that singer that took off for 15 years to raise her child and then came back, you know, to her career. So, you know, I wouldn't doubt it. She obviously has proven that she can do whatever she wants to do as far as her career.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely. She's
definitely
something to follow after. Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
So now, I mean, it's 5-6 years later. Is it still surreal to you?
It is. You know, people, I mean, imagine, if you can, yourself going from being an ordinary, like you're on the radio, you're doing your job, you're cool with that, you're loving it, you know, and then just imagine becoming a famous, you know, personality on radio, you know, imagine overnight, you know, and there are times that, you know, I thank God every day. I'm just going to be honest. I say, you know, I make sure every day at some point during my day, I say, thank you, God, because it's so, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you wake up one day and all of a sudden you're living in a different world almost.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on American Idol, you're so isolated from everything that's really going on in the world, you know, and it's almost like when you're on American Idol, they do such a good job of protecting you from the masses and protecting you from outside press and things like that. But everybody knows your name. Everybody knows who you are. All of a sudden, you go from just Brandon, you go from being Brandon to Brandon. It's a big pill. It's a big pill to swallow. But and I don't know. I still, especially I just came from home visiting with my mom. Mm-hmm. And probably when I go home and hang out with my girlfriends and stuff, it's probably when I realize it the most, you know, that, mm-hmm. but it's also a time when I can really kind of stay in touch with who I really am and where I come from, which is nice.
Right.
Because you are literally thrown into it without, there's no instruction manual.
Right.
Nobody's mm-hmm. telling you how this is supposed to work or how it's even going to work. Nobody knows.
Right.
Well, and you were especially thrown into it because, you know, you didn't win American Idol, and it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and all of a sudden it happened huge for you out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you know,
I'm sure you were.
Let me tell you, I remember getting the phone call that Eighth World Wonder had gone number one. I can tell you exactly what I was doing because it was the day I shot my video. I was sitting in my floor putting on my sneakers. It was 4 o'clock in the morning in L.A., and I got a call from Tennessee, and I was like, why are you even awake? You know? And he was like, I'm calling to tell you that your single just went number one. And it was like one of those moments where it's a weird moment. I'm sitting in the middle of the floor putting on my tennis shoes. And
wow.
I just stopped, and I'm like, wow, really? You know, it's a lot to try to, you know, take into your brain all at once, you know. And even after 6 years, I still have those moments of like, wow, this is my life, you know. And I'm very thankful and very appreciative, you know. I wouldn't change it, you know. I've learned a lot along the way, and I've had to make some adjustments, some serious adjustments. But it's great, you know.
Now,
and when you hear yourself on the radio, you just freak out still?
Right.
You know, that whole thing is weird, too. You know, hearing yourself on the radio, I remember hearing Eighth World Wonder on the radio for the first time, and I was like, that is not me. But the funny thing was I had just left the studio recording another song, and I was actually in Nashville when I heard it on the radio for the first time. And, you know, artists are weird about hearing themselves on the radio, let me just tell you that. We don't, I mean, I know, speaking for myself and the producer, we don't like to hear ourselves on the radio. We don't like to hear our work on the radio. We don't like to hear our speaking voices. We don't like to hear our singing voices. We're so critical of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I honestly had to pull over on the side of the road because I couldn't handle it.
Really?
I did. I was the idiot sitting on the side of the road blocking traffic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's, you know, but it's great. I think the best part about it is, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer and a singer. And, you know, I came to a crossroad where I got to pick and choose to do either one of those things. And that,
you still have the opportunity to do both, and that's still not off the table. That can always happen. I mean, you're young enough, so. I mean,
absolutely.
And it doesn't really even matter how old you are. That can always be accomplished.
Oh, no, because you know what? When I took the LSAT, I was sitting next to a 72-year-old lady from Jamaica.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, why are you here? I said, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I've always wanted to be a lawyer. I was like, okay.
Wow, okay. See, though, you know what? I mean, it can happen. So that's like
it
not,
can,
you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely can.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of stories like that where, I mean, at least I know we have, right, Brandon, there's an actress by the name of Eden Regal who is on All My Children. She played Susan Lucci's daughter. And before, she had to make a choice between Harvard Law School or All My Children, and she chose All My Children.
Mm. Wow.
So, you know, you always make those choices, and you can always go back.
Yeah, you know what I said at the end of the day when I finally made my decision with American Idol? I said, law schools are not closing their doors tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will always be around. But American Idol, honestly, for me, was a once-in-a-lifetime thing because, you know, I was at the age limit. I was the oldest idol on my season. I was 24.
Really?
I was 24 when I auditioned, and the rule was you had to be – you had to be under 25 on October 20th, and my birthday was January 3rd. So I barely made it, and I believe that, you know, that is what I was supposed to do, and that's what I did.
Well, you know, we're glad you did it.
Yeah,
music is a young person's game anyway. I mean, it's...
You know what? That's what they say. And I don't... now that I'm in it, I'm hoping that's not true, but... so if I got a few more years left in me anyway. But you're right.
Unless
you, know?
You do.
And
unless you get
any,
really lucky and hit that Streisand level,
it's one of those things where I think it applies to anything that you want to do in your life. You know, you just have to go for it. You know, and honestly, like, I look back at, you know, Madonna. Madonna was kind of a late bloomer. And so was Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I look at those girls and, you know, they're inspiring to me. You know, their stories are inspiring. And trust me, in this business, you have to find inspiration wherever you can find it. You have to take it where you get it.
They both worked at it for years and years, too. I mean,
exactly.
not a lot of people know that, but they both worked and worked and worked before they
got
this.
You know, Janet Jackson did not hit, like, her music didn't hit until, like, her third album or something.
Third album,
like
yeah, exactly. Well, Madonna didn't hear, really.
Yeah, so that's my inspiration. But when they hit
hard.
They hit hard, and they're here to stay. They're not going anywhere. And so, you know, I just look at it, you know, I'm here, and, you know, I'm going to try to make the most of it while I'm here.
Well, now your album, based on a true story, each song you have on the album, I mean, this is just a statement, has a special meanings and stories behind them for you due to journeys and personal things. And once someone listens to your lyrics, it quickly becomes their story also because of the simple fact there are so many people at the same time in this world that are just facing similar, if not the same, issues in relationships and in life relating to your beautiful lyrics. For someone as talented and as gifted as you are, that you are able to put your emotions, whether it be joy or pain and suffering, into a beautiful ballad or something upbeat for the rest of us to enjoy and relate to, you know, who may have a hard time expressing ourselves vocally. It's just so much appreciated. So that I just want to say thank you for.
Oh, thank you so much. And you know what? As an artist, as far as I'm concerned, that's what it's all about. I think when I wrote this album, when I was writing for Based on a True Story, one of the things that I was afraid of was exposing my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And writing these stories, you know, because that's what they are. These songs are basically just stories of my own personal experiences. And I'm like, whoa, you're putting a whole lot of information out there. Right. And, you know, I think what I learned is that that's what people want. That's how people connect to your music because you're right. At the end of the day, we all go through the same things. We just experience them at different times, you know, because when you meet people that you don't even know, they're like, oh, yeah, I've been there and done that, bought the T-shirt, because we've all been through the same drama. And you know, we all have to find, you know, music is a universal language.
Right.
You know, when you have, you know, pivotal moments in your life or huge events in your life, people are always able to attach a song to it. I mean, I'm telling you, like, whether you were in the back of somebody's car or in high school doing the nasty, you know what song was on the radio.
You
know what happened.
You know that.
When there's these big moments in your life, you're like, oh, you remember that song? We were doing so-and-so and so on. And that's what music is all about. And that's when I was writing this album, I said, you know what? Somebody is going to relate to this because I'm not the only person going through this bullshit right now.
Right. It's so true.
And that's, you know, that's what, you know, with this album, with this project, it was my baby. I put it all on the line, and I said, you know what? People want to know me. Here it is. This is what I'm going through. I was in a relationship. I was engaged. I was going through. I was miserable, and I don't have any lie to tell, you know, and every day I wrote, at the time I was hosting a game show for 11 weeks, so I was gone 4 days out of the week, so Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, all I did was write in the studio for 11 weeks straight, you know, and probably more than that because I was still writing once, you know, once I finished the show and stuff, but that's all I did, and it was like therapy. You know, I would go in, I would lay on the couch in the studio, and the guys that were writing with me, whom I had to trust a lot because they knew way too much about my personal life.
Right.
You know, that's another issue. And I was like, you know what? They were like, okay, what's going on this week?
Oh, wow. So you basically had your own little soap opera going and just put it into song, right?
Totally. You know, I tell people all the time, I journal a lot. You know, it gives me... You know, it gives me peace. And I tell people, journal, write your thoughts down, you know,
right.
because you never know, you know, what's going to come out of that, because it's a way to, it's like taking the pressure off. When you write it down, it's like relieving pressure from your brain.
Right.
And it kind of leaves you, it's on the page. And you can look at it and you can say, wow, I finally got that out. Because let's just face it, there's not always somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you don't always want to talk to people about your drama.
That's right. Sometimes you just don't want to say nothing at all. Yeah,
exactly.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that.
So, you know, that's what Based on a True Story is for me. It is, it's the truth. It's my truth. It's exactly what I was going through at that time.
Right. Well, for those of you that are in the chat room and on hold, on the front page of the blog, on my blog talk page, is a link directly to Amazon.com with Based on a True Story on the front cover. So you can click on that and just go buy it, because it's definitely worth it.
Yeah,
it's a terrific
thank
album.
You.
It's terrific.
It certainly is. It really is.
It's deep.
It's good, though. I really
Very
enjoyed
good.
It.
Thank you.
I want to touch real fast on your restaurant, Croton Creek Steakhouse and Wine Bar.
Yeah.
Croton Creek is about 30 or 40 minutes right outside of where I grew up. I grew up in Yonkers, New York. In Yonkers.
Oh, yeah. Yonkers is right down the street.
Yeah, and I'll actually be down there for Thanksgiving, so I may have to stop by.
You should stop by. I will tell you that I won't be there because I'm going on a Christmas tour.
That's right. That's the next thing.
Yeah, that's the next thing, but absolutely, come by and have a
Oh, I definitely
you know,
want to check it out.
Dinner with us, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I've always wanted to own a restaurant. I've known that since I was in college, and I just got to do it, you know, sooner than I anticipated. And I'm in business with a few of my really good friends, and, you know, I actually was there tonight, had a couple glasses of wine, and chatted with the customers. And, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, again, I'm a foodie.
Mm-hmm.
I love food. And, you know, there's nothing like, you know, give me food, wine, and friends, and I'm happy.
Right.
My favorite dish at the restaurant, we have lobster sausage, which our chef makes in the kitchen fresh. Mm-hmm. He packs the little sausages, you know, pulls the lobster meat, and I'm telling you, they are delicious. I eat them so much, I had to stop eating them. I was eating them all the time.
Delicious. We have some people in the chat room that are asking a couple questions before I go to the phones.
Okay.
We have Little Bear, and she's asking about your experience on Celebrity Fitness, the Celebrity Fit Club, and how did that change your life, and have you been able to keep up with the weight loss program now?
I have been able to keep the weight loss off, surprisingly, to myself and everyone else probably. But Celebrity Fit Club, just like American Idol, was life-changing because I was very deliberate and calculated in making that decision to do that show, because nobody wants to go on national television and fail at weight loss.
Right.
You know, especially when we're so obsessed with it. And I've always been really comfortable with myself and comfortable in my own skin. And I was like, what if I get on the show and this is not really what I want to do? Then what?
Mm-hmm. Right,
You know, so I actually said no to doing the show. And after some thought, you know, I decided to do it. And, of course, once I got on the show, there was so much drama with Dustin that I was just I thought weight loss is such a stressful thing anyway. It's like I don't need his drama every day.
Oh, my gosh. I'm serious.
So I got through it, and, you know, I'm actually hosting my first cruise with Harvey Walden. We're doing a music and fitness cruise. and it's going to be next September 2009. And we actually have a website, and it's lockandloaded.com. That's my last name, L-O-C-K-E, and loaded. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a blast. I think that from my experience on Celebrity Fit Club, I feel so good about the changes that I've made. I just want everybody to know that they can do it too. And
right.
It's not about being a size zero. I'm a size eight.
Right.
You know,
right.
But being a size eight for me is healthier than being a size 14.
Right.
And that's what it's about. I don't need to be a
right.
size zero. You know,
I like
being voluptuous. I like that about me. But
you're
it's about being
to
healthy.
A girl, honey. I know.
Right.
Never be a size zero. Hell no.
You know, I've never been a size zero. What makes me think I'm going to be a size zero at 30, honey? The only zero
exactly.
I'm seeing is my age.
Right. No, you're right about that.
Yeah,
so
the show was a great experience for me.
So, also, we have Tyson in the chat room, who is your fan club website runner.
Uh-huh. Hi, Tyson.
And they want to know why they didn't know about your Christmas tour, and who are you touring with?
You know what? Can I say something to them? They're always busting my chops about something. They're always upset with me about something. And I'm just going to do a blanket apology for everything that I've ever done to upset them. But I just found out about the crew. We just booked it 2 days ago. So
okay.
That's why I'm talking about it. We don't even have the dates yet. Actually, they're not
right.
even on the website, but they'll be on the website this week because we just did it. So that's why they don't know yet. It's actually, you know, it's not like I do it on purpose. It's actually a tour because I have a Christmas album out.
Right.
You can download it on iTunes. And I have a new Christmas single that's coming out. I've had 3 number one Christmas singles. And, you know, going on a Christmas tour is perfect for me. And we're doing a Christmas tour with a few of the other idols. I think it's going to be Chiquizzi, Diana DeGarmo, David Hernandez, and myself. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Okay, good. They say they just bust your chops because they want the best for you. Ha, ha, ha.
I know
so,
they
ha,
do.
Ha.
I love them.
All in good fun. All right. Are you ready? We're going to go head over to the phones.
Okay.
All right. We have area code 904. You're on the phone with Kimberly Locke. 904, speak now. Forever hold your peace.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the phone with Kimberly. What's your name? I guess it's nothing. So, all right, move on. I know this caller. This is Tony from Chicago. Tony.
Oh, no.
Okay. He ain't there
Live
either.
Radio.
This happened. You know what? This happened yesterday, too, remember?
Yes.
Okay, call back. Area code 708. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, you're on the phone with Kimberly. What's your name?
My name is Dale Matthews. Hi, Kim. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm out of Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, I was just wondering. I'm a fan of yours. I enjoy your music. And, I just wonder when's next time you're going to be in Chicago.
You know what? I'm not going to be in Chicago for the Christmas tour, but I'm going to be somewhere near there, and I don't remember. Let me see if I can find the city for you. I don't know how far it is from Chicago, but I can tell you the name of it. And it is, I just did the Susan G. Komen cancer race there. I was representing them in Chicago, and I actually had a really good time in Chicago.
Wonderful.
When I was there just a few weeks ago. I'm going to be in Waukegan, Illinois.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, do you know where that is?
Yes, I do.
I will be there on December 21st.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, you take care. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you have your dates all up and posted, I'll repost them also on the blog so everybody can go to Kimberly's MySpace page. MySpace.com/KimberlyLocke and definitely check that out. And you can also find them on StardishRadio.com. Area code 814, you're on the phone with Kimberly. What's your name?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Me?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, honey, you need to calm down.
Kim! It's Alicia!
Oh, hi, Alicia.
At the gay pride
What's
okay.
that?
That's a dead call.
Okay.
Too much static. Yeah. Aries code 312. This is Tony. You back?
Yeah, I'm back, Jillian. How you doing?
Good.
Sorry,
say hi to our guest.
Hi, Kimberly. How are you, darling?
Hi, Tony. I'm good. Thank you.
I'm doing very good. I love your music. Of course, I love you on American Idol because I really wanted you to be in the finals instead of Ruben or Clay. But, you know, it's great. It was great to be not to be, you know, in the final two or be the winner of that, man. You did great for yourself.
Thank you. Yes, I have.
I have a couple
of questions. It all worked out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah,
that's right, especially. I have a quick questions before I leave. The video that you did, 8-1, to your song, 8, It Will Wonder.
Uh-huh.
You had a guy in there who used to play on Passions, Charles Divins,
yeah.
Right?
Charles Divins, yeah.
Well, you didn't work with him before, you.
No, he was basically. I think we went through an agency. We got him through his agency.
Cool.
Because we were looking for, you know, I guess when you do a video, you cast it just like you would a movie, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who we came up with. He wasn't a bad cast. He was, you know, good looking.
I'll take that.
I think I got to screen those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Glad you. Well, I just realized also, too, this year, too, with the American Idol this year, you are one of two female contestants to make the top three, and then when voted off, right before the finale, Shaisha McCarter was voted off this year to allow the two Davis to get to the finals. Isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah, because you know what? I think that I know our season, they had, I think season one, it was Kelly and Justin. So if you watch it throughout, if you watch the entire season, you can tell who they are pulling for and who they're pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on their comments, based on, you know, press, based on, you know, hype and things like that. So I think during my season, because Kelly and Justin were in the final, they wanted it to be two guys for sure.
Right.
You know, because all the hype was about Ruben and Clay.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Because they were like the odd couple.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
The big, heavy guy and the scrawny straw-haired white kid, you know, so.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You were so politically correct with that.
You know, that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. I say it how it is.
Right.
You know, I mean, I like both of them, but you know what? That's exactly what it was about.
Yeah, that's what it was about, and I got that, and I wasn't upset about it. That's just, you know, I think what people have to realize is that American Idol is a television show first.
Right.
And talent is like third or fourth on the list.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
so it is what it is.
It's all about ratings and making money one way or the other. So,
absolutely.
I'm not,
you know what, I'm not resentful. I feel great about what happened. I loved being on the show, and it was a great experience for me.
That's great. One more question before I leave. You appeared this week for charity on Don't Forget the Lyric, the karaoke show by Wayne Brady, to do a benefit for your charity Camp Heartland. What is that about for those who don't know about it?
Camp Heartland is an organization that works with children who are affected and infected with AIDS, AIDS and HIV. Basically what they do is they send about 1,500 kids to camp, 1,500 to 2,000 kids to camp every year, free of charge. So, like, the cost of sending one kid to camp is, like, $1,500. But they do education, They teach the kids about, you know, prevention. But basically, it's a safe place for these kids to go and just be kids, because most of these children are minority kids. They're impoverished kids. And, you know, now they have another strike against them, which is that they're infected with AIDS and HIV to no fault of their own. They're children. So what happens is they're under all of these, you know, they're being scrutinized and they're being judged and, you know, people alienate them. So when they come to camp, they look forward to coming to camp because it's where they can talk about it. They can be around other kids who are dealing with the same thing, and they can just be. I went to camp this year, and I'm telling you, they just have a good – it's 1 week out of their life that they don't have to worry about what they have. They don't have to worry about the disease that they don't really know that much about. And the beautiful thing about Camp Heartland is that most of these kids that go through camp, they grow up and they become – counselors because they love the organization. And if you want to know more information about it, it's the website is campheartland.org.
Okay. Well, that's a wonderful thing. Hey, Kim, thanks so much for talking to me tonight, and continue success on your music career and whatever you do. And we'll be listening to you. So enjoy it, Brandon. Take care, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, Tony.
Bye. Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Oh, wow. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Just a great organization.
I love it. I love working with them.
All right. We're going to move over here to area code 904. You're on the phone with Kimberly Locke.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Shay.
Hey, Shay.
Hey, Kimberly.
Shay,
do you remember
from Florida?
Me? Yeah, hey.
Of course I do.
Oh, I'm so excited about the cruise. You know I'm going to be there.
Oh, you better be.
I will.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Like, I called the travel agent and everything. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to go. What do I need to do?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny because it's so far in advance, and I know people are going to wait to the last minute. But,
right. You
know, the bottom line is that, you know, we only have it's a ship. So there's only so many beds available. And I can only imagine that when it gets down to the wire, everybody's going to be like, I didn't get it. I didn't get a cabin. And they're going to be mad at me.
Right. And hopefully it's going to be a lot of people from the fan club. So it's going to be like a big reunion. It's going to be really fun.
It'll
hopefully
a
lot
blast.
Of people will be able to go.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of, like, of course there'll be a lot of music on the boat and a lot of concerts, and there'll be workouts and things like that. But it's going to be basically like a personal one-on-one experience with me and with Harvey, because we're going to be on the ship. We're going to try to plan, you know, like, private dinners with people and do fun stuff like that where people actually feel like they're getting to know us while we're on the cruise.
Right. And that's going to be really personal. It should be really, you know, fun. Everything on the
event.
It'll
be fun. And of course we're going to do our own little karaoke idol contest and for kids and for adults. So
I'm going to do that.
I know you do. So I hope to see you there, Shay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Good night.
Alrighty. Bye.
So, Kimberly, is Harvey like the biggest sweetheart?
Is he the
biggest sweetheart?
Is he
as rough and bad as he portrays himself to be?
He's a little bit of both, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, you kind of have to know how to take him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a military guy. He's been in the military for 23 years, so all he knows
right.
to be is a hard ass. That's all he knows.
Right.
You know, that's what he does, and that's
mm-hmm.
what he's really good at. So when you get him out of that, if you're able to get him out of that mode and get him into the nice mode,
mm-hmm.
which is difficult, then he's not going to be, which he's not going to be comfortable with because he doesn't know
right.
how to be nice. You know, it's kind of, it's tricky, you know, it's tricky.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's nice to me. And I think he's nice to his children, but that's probably about it.
That is
a nice club to be in.
But that's what he does. That's what he knows, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a great motivator. And that's what, you know, people who come on this cruise, they're going to be so motivated. Because let's face it, you're on a cruise, it's vacation. This is not all about, you know, don't eat this, don't eat that, you got to work out. No, you are on vacation first and foremost. You know,
right.
What we want to do is bring you on to the ship and show you a good time, but also give you some stuff that you can take home with you when you leave the cruise and say, I learned this from Harvey while I was on the cruise, you know, or this is what they talked about. This is what Kimberly talked about when she was losing weight. This is what she did. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. It's about sharing and talking and opening up and, you know, just opening your mind up to something different while you're on vacation. And it's more, and then it becomes more than just a vacation.
Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Harvey. Boy, you don't know. I'd love to send my son to Harvey. Okay? So I love Harvey.
He would love to have your son, too, and break him down.
Oh, man, I'd love to send him. I wish his drill sergeant in ROTC was like him last year. Oh, my gosh.
You know what? That's one of the things that we're going to do on the ship. We are, because cruises are very family-oriented. They can be.
Yeah.
We want to do something for the kids. So we're going to do, like, a teen summit where, you know, we lock the parents out and the kids can just come in and talk to us one-on-one.
I'm actually
excited about that because I love talking to kids.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea, too.
Yeah. So they don't have to worry about their parents being there and they can ask, you know, the things that they're concerned about, you know, or things that they can do for themselves or, you know, whatever.
I'd love to lock him in a room with them, boy. Oh yeah. This may very well be something I might have to look into and send some friends.
Well, we're there, so come on and join us. We're gonna have a good time.
All right. We're gonna head over to area code 269. You're on the phone with Kimberly Locke. What's your name? Hello, what's your name? 269. Sorry?
I'm Terry Caldwell Jr. I'm calling for Beth Hubbard. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, Kimberly, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have all three of your records. The most recent one, your Christmas album.
Oh, thank you.
I like the one Last Christmas. Christmas to cover from Wham.
Yep.
Wham. I gotta tell you, I'm one of your biggest fans.
Fans of
American Idol. I watch you on American Idol. I have your, I have most of your magazine pictures.
Thank you.
Pictures. I just want to say congratulations on your weight loss. Well, I first heard you were going to be on Celebrity Fit Club. I didn't take it too well.
I know you didn't, see.
I had an emotional breakdown.
I know. It was funny because when I said I was going to do that show, I was very surprised that my fan base was not excited about it.
Really?
They were actually, they actually called me a sellout.
Well, honestly, I would never call you a sellout.
Well, some people were like, she's selling out, she's turning her back on the big girls, and, you know, the bottom line is that I'm a big girl at heart, so, you know, that is
you're
never
going to change. You're big.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions. First of all, your tour with Dave Koff last season. What was it like?
You know what? It was a lot of fun. Can I tell you that I enjoyed working with Dave and the rest of those guys? Every night, you know, that we went out on stage, I learned something. And I think being on the stage with guys who have done it so much and have done it for so long, I felt really privileged to be there and to be a part of that. And the fact that Dave asked me to do it, you know, I was excited about it. And Jonathan Butler, can I tell you, is amazing. Jonathan Butler is a walking musical freak show. Like, he hears notes that I will never sing in my life, you know, and he plays the guitar. It is just the most amazing thing that I ever heard. And every night, I think I look forward to what he was going to do because you never knew. And I got to sing a duet with him, which was unbelievable.
Oh, that's
great. How great is Dave Koz?
Dave, can I tell you, Dave Koz is just one of those people that is a good human being.
Oh,
you know, he has such a strong fan base. He caters to his fans. He gives them exactly what they want. And, you know, that's what he does. And he's such a pleasant, you know, he's such a pleasant person. So being on that tour, it was like being out on the road with a bunch of my high school buddies. You know, that's what it was like. And that's what you want. You don't want to be on the road with a bunch of people that can't get along or, you don't like or, you know, because usually there's always one or two that just makes it miserable for people. And it just wasn't like that on this tour, on that tour. It was so much fun. I was the only girl. And, you know, besides, there was one girl that worked on the back line. She was, she made sure all of our costuming and stuff was done. But being the only girl on that tour, I have to say I had such a blast.
Wasn't it intimidating? Be the only girl in an all-male band?
I think at first it was, you know, when you go in there and you're like, oh, my gosh, I have to hold my own. But they make you comfortable. They welcome you. They don't make you feel – they encourage you.
Oh, that's
great. Yeah, which is great. That's what you need. And you know what? Let me tell you. These guys have been doing this for a lot longer than I have. So they have no reason to try to make me feel intimidated or lesser than. You know what I'm saying? It's like they literally took me under their wing and taught me the ropes of, you know, doing that kind of thing, which was great.
Well, that's
right.
Great. Yeah. And now about Dustin.
Uh-oh.
And now about Dustin. First of all, I hated him, but what... First of all, I really hated him for what he done to you, especially that comment he made about offering you his thingy.
Oh, yeah. We know that comment. You don't have to repeat it.
No, well, not for nothing.
I just want to know, what did he have against you?
He probably didn't have nothing against you. He's just an ass. So, seriously?
Right, he is.
There's no point in giving him airtime, you
right,
know?
Yeah, he's just an ass. Thank you very much.
That's just simply said. He's just an ass.
Yeah, that's
okay.
How he is.
He's mad because Mark Paul Gosselaar made it and he didn't. So, you know,
exactly.
Mark Paul Gosselaar is handsome and fit and he's fat and screeched. That's why he's mad. So just let's move on.
Well, Kim, I'm going to let you go. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you, too.
Bye.
I so did not want to bring up that question or that person because he was just an idiot.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't even usually talk about it just because you're right. I don't want to give him my airtime.
Yeah, that's right. This is about you, sweetheart. We got phone calls to get through. Forget about him.
Hey.
Okay. Let's go over here to area code 310, California. You're on the phone with Kimberly Locke.
Hey, Kimberly. This is Brianna.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I don't have a question for you. I just wanted to call in and show my love and support. I've been a fan since I was like 16.
I know you have.
And
I know you have.
It's been great seeing the different organizations and stuff you've been involved with in your charity. It's really motivating and uplifting. I wanted to ask you though, how do you become a camp counselor? Because I've been involved with volunteering since I was like a freshman in high school. I would love to get involved with. I know there's a camp in Malibu.
There's a camp in Malibu, which is a beautiful camp. It overlooks the water. All you have to do, Brianna, is contact them directly. There's probably a number there. If you want, there's a young lady. Her name is Elise.
Mm-hmm.
And she could probably help you out, or you can call and ask to speak with Susan, and they could help you. Because, you know, an organization like Camp Heartland, that's how they do everything that they do is through volunteers. And the volunteers that they have are so much fun, and they love that they love what they do, you know.
Yeah.
And you would have so much fun with them. They're not just
– I love it.
And a lot of times when you work with organizations, you know, you just kind of work with people. You don't really form any relationships or any bonds. But these people are so passionate, and they're just good people. Like, they do it because they love it, and they look forward to doing it every year. And the kids look forward to them coming back every year. So if you want to get more information about volunteering, just you can go to the website, which is campheartland.org, and there's a phone number on the website. You can call that number and ask to speak to either Elise or Susan, and they'll definitely put you in touch with the right people.
Awesome. Thank you so
much.
Okay.
Thanks, Brianna.
All right. Talk to you
guys
later.
Bye.
So that's great. You see, people are just going to start signing up like crazy now. And I love how you know your fans on a first-name basis.
Yeah. You know what? Brianna has been a fan for a very long time when the very first Kalo website opened up and was operating. And
mm-hmm.
she's still around. And she's always very sweet. She's always very encouraging. And, you know, she's young. And, you know, let's just face it, our young kids need people to look up to. So,
this is true.
You know, there's not a lot of role models out there for our kids. And, you know, Brianna, I think she's probably 18 now, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's cool like that, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, my fans are what make my world go round, you know.
Right, so, right.
If I didn't have any fans, where would I be?
Exactly.
You know,
no, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a couple more calls. We only have a few minutes left, so let's try and keep them to one question each, peoples. Area code 845, you're on the phone with Kimberly.
Hey, Kim, it's Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Brianna just called in.
I know. I heard her. I heard her. I heard I heard TC. I heard a bunch of us.
Did
we
you
all
hear Shay?
Yeah, I heard Shay, too. I was like,
yeah.
We all band together, don't we?
I know.
And by the way, Miss Kim, Bri is 21, honey.
Is she really? So that
she
means
is.
She was, what, 17 or 16 17. when she first was a fan?
Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
Brianna, your drinking age. Now you're legal.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
you're going to have to go visit the wine bar.
I know. I would feel guilty.
But now she can hang with the big girls like us.
She can hang with the big girls, yeah.
So
right.
I have to ask you, because I know that you had your place in New York, and we haven't
yeah.
seen you here in quite some time. So are you still hanging out in New York, or are you doing anything?
I am still in New York, and
awesome.
I'm in New York. I've been, you know, I'm traveling, and
mm-hmm.
actually, you know, I travel 4 or 5 days out of the week for work,
right.
and, you know, this is kind of where I am for now. I think I'm going to stay here. I don't think I'm going anywhere.
Well, that's good. We
yeah,
kind of miss you.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny because I always wanted to come to New York, and I lived
mm-hmm.
in the city for a little while. And then I wound up in L.A. by no choice of mine, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friends convinced me to move here, and I love it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I live in Westchester, which is basically the country.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of home. I'm close enough to Nashville that, you know, it doesn't take me half a day to get home if something
right.
happens and I need to get there. So I'm very happy here for now.
Good, cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We haven't been. We'll be at your restaurant in the next 2 months or so because it's my birthday. So I'm actually getting. That's my birthday gift.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'll be here because I'm.
No,
I'm
I know.
Gonna, I'm going on a tour, and then of course my birthday is January 3rd, so I'll go somewhere for my birthday. I don't know where I'm going yet, but just make sure you tell everybody that you were there and leave me a note or something.
Of course.
Right.
And by the way, before she kills me, I have to mention Alicia called, and I guess she got bumped or something.
I know. Alicia, well, she didn't get bumped. Tell Alicia she had static on her phone, and they couldn't hear her, so
okay.
she cut her off. Okay? So tell Alicia not to bash me and don't send me any mean messages on my face. Okay? That Alicia can be ruthless. Y'all do not know. Alicia, when she gets on her kick, you might as well just sit back and be
yeah,
quiet.
Yeah, I do
and
know.
Listen. Yeah.
I do know. she's been texting me for the last 8 hours. I do know.
Oh, gosh. Alicia, I still love you. I know you're listening.
But
I was screaming.
All right. It's good to talk to you, Kim.
Thanks,
take
Dawn.
Care. Love you. Bye.
Love you, too.
Okay, we got time for one more caller, peoples. We're going to area code 440.
I did.
On the phone with Kimberly.
Kim?
Hi.
Hey, Kim. Hey. Hey, it's Katie.
It's who?
Katie.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Hey, you know what? I wanted to let you know that I pray for you, like, every single night.
Oh, you're Katie, thank you.
Biggest influence in my life.
Thank you.
And I wanted to let you know that I actually sent off a gift today to you in care of Barb.
Okay.
So you should be getting it within a couple of days.
Awesome. Perfect. I will get it. I'm actually going to be in L.A. soon, so she will definitely give it to me when I get there. Hello?
Are you still there?
I'm sorry. You're blocking out. Sorry, Kim. What?
I'll get it in a couple of days because not in a couple of days, but I'm going to be in L.A. soon. So she'll give it to me when I get there.
Okay, they're gone.
Okay.
They're gone. Okay. Sorry, guys. We had so many callers still on hold for you. Sorry for those that we did not get to. There's 4 minutes remaining. And, Kim, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. I love it.
And we'll continue definite support for you and everything
thank
that you do. All your information regarding charities and your tour dates and all, we will post on stardishradio.com, including the restaurant information, and
awesome.
Keep supporting you. So let me ask you one quick question now before you go. What's the chances of you singing a promotion for me for the show?
Singing a promotion?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Give me like a little jingle. This is Kimberly Locke on Stardish Radio. I'm only kidding. I'm doing that because I was put up to it. I'm teasing.
I hear somebody laughing in the background. Would that be
Brandon?
Brandon.
Yeah.
It might be.
He's been dying to get me to have you sing.
Oh, my gosh. What do you want me to sing? You want me to just sing anything?
If you would do a little bit of wrong, I would die a happy man.
You would, well, don't die, Brandon. Okay? I'll sing a little bit. I'm not going to sing the chorus because it's so high. I would probably, it would probably be horrible, but I'll sing a little bit. You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see.
Beautiful.
You are fabulous. You are terrific.
Don't die, Brandon.
Brandon's going to be a happy, happy man.
It's so funny. It takes so little to make them happy, right?
You know? But no, seriously, on a Stardish Radio note, I did want you to kind of do like, hi, this is Kimberly Locke on Stardish Radio, but you don't have to sing it for me, sweetheart.
I'll do it. We're
recording, so whenever you're ready.
Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Perfect. Sweetheart, much success to you. I'm going to leave you a note when I come to that restaurant of yours.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too, Kim.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Stardish Radio tonight. I'm sorry for the callers that we could not get to. Please go visit Kimberly's MySpace page for more information on her tour dates. www.myspace.com/KimberlyLocke. And also on stardishradio.com, you'll find all of the same information as far as dates, websites, and information on Camp Heartland. So go check that out and sign up for the email alerts as well. Please make sure you download the show and rate it. Once we're finished, the ratings mean everything. I'd really appreciate that. And Brandon, thank you so much for hanging in there with me and writing a beautiful intro.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for letting me participate. It was a blast.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad you could die a happy man. That's great. So, you know what? We're going to just exit out the show here with a little bit of Imaginary Bitches because it's what I got on hand. And we'll be back here Monday night for a soap chat.
Night, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.